Welcome to our services in person and online. We are extremely glad you're here and pleased that you've come to sing praises to our God and research God's Word together as a group. We are going to begin with 835 as our opening song. Savior, grant me rest.
Savior, grant me rest and peace. Let my troubling cease. With the shining in thy veil, teach my heart that all is well. I would trust my
The second song we're going to sing is by an interesting guy by the name of William Watford. And I don't know if you've heard the story before, but I'd like to tell us a little about the song we're going to sing. And by all accounts, William Watford is English. He's British, if you would. And he is known for two things. He was a preacher, I'm sure of that much. And he was a carver. He carved things by hand. And this all really does have a point for the song, because William Watford is blind. And the way this song came to us is, according to what research says, is that he had a friend over at the house and he told him this poem that he had memorized. And this is the poem. And the guy wrote it down for him because he was blind. He didn't write, and all his sermons are done from memory. And all his scripture quotations were from memory. And all his carvings were done as a blind man. So when he says sweet hour of prayer, he hasn't looked at the clock. There's an interesting phrase that he has penned. And from 1845, when this song was written, he says in the second verse, "With such I hastened." By the way, I'm imagining in this song the Garden of Eden and Adam and God walking together. Okay, that's what I see. Now, I don't know if that's what you see, but here's his second verse. "With such I hastened to the place where God my Savior shows his face. And I'll gladly take my station there and wait for thee." The word station here probably has the idea of to get to a fixed location and stay. You're there, you're at the expected place, and you're taken up. This is where I stand. Something like that. So, as we sing the song, the first two verses, and then after this, we will pray.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Steve. Thank you for getting our minds right to sing and praise God, to worship Him. Let us also try to remove all distractions as we go to God in prayer. Will you bow with me? Wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you've given us, and help us to take all those blessings and to share them with others, to show others your wonderful blessings that are abounding. Help us to show others the joy and love that we have. Help us to get our lives right so that we can help others with theirs. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings, none greater than your Son, that came and died for our sins. Help us to use that example to love others, to bring them into our circles, to get out of our comfort zone and to think of ourselves less and to think of them more. Help us to be good servants of yours and to demonstrate our life as servants of the one true King. Lord, Father, forgive us when we failed you and watch over us and help us to go throughout this week to apply your words into our life and help all the sick and the hurting and watch over them. There's a lot of people with pain in their lives, and help us to show them that the only comfort comes from you, and help us to have that understanding and joy in our lives. Forgive us for all the things that we've done wrong, and help us to learn from those mistakes to do better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here we are in His presence, and we're going to sing, "Lord, We Come Before Thee Now," and then after this, we'll have the scripture reading, and God's word will be opened before us.
Lord, we come before Thee now, at Thy feet.
Bible story time tonight for the first and third grade will be open, so you may exit as we read from Acts, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Acts, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parnabas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them.
Wanted to give a quick update on High Rock. I'm not Tim Hall. He'll be up here in just a second. But I wanted to tell you how this weekend went. It was great. The kids that we took had a great time. We had a speaker from Cookeville that preaches at I think the Jefferson Church of Christ in Cookeville, Tennessee, and he had just his name is Andy Brewster. I forgot his name. And he did just a great job of relating the scriptures to the adults and the kids that were present. I think Friday night he went through the first 10 chapters of Romans and was just like, bam, 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 just connecting dots like you wouldn't believe. And the kids just got so much out of it. During the cabin devos, with the boys were telling me and what they were asking and the notes they were reading, I was just blown away by what they had taken away from what he had taught them. And our theme was back to the future, and we looked at what he did. What he started at, he looked in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah writes a letter to those guys that have been taken into captivity. They're going to Babylon. They're being marched over captivity, and he sends this letter on ahead saying, "Hey, these false prophets, they told you this is only going to last a little while. Oh no, this is going to last a really long time. This is a 70-year thing. This is your punishment. Go ahead, build houses, plant gardens, get comfortable." And so the theme behind that was really, how do we get comfortable in this world, right? We're living here, even though hopefully someday we're going to be living there. And he just did a real good job of relating it all to us, and just had a great time. But along with that, I wanted to share some other really great news. And you have a new sister in Christ. Rosie Ryan decided to put on Christ when we got back to the church building this afternoon. So let's give her an amen.
Amen.
We're so glad for her decision. And before Tim comes up to give the message, let's pray for her right now together. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. We thank you so much, Lord, for Christ and what he's done for us. We thank you so much for the grace that you've bestowed upon us. We know that we are not perfect. We can never be perfect, but that you can bridge that gap if we are faithful to you, Lord. We thank you so much for Rosie's commitment today, and we want you to be with her forever, Lord, throughout this life and in the life to come. We want you to be with her to make decisions that are good, and to live like a Christian should, to tell others about the gospel like they should, and to keep her strong and keep her from the evil one, Lord. We pray that you will bless her, family, and let her know that that we're all here for her, and that anytime she needs a Christian brother or sister, that we are just an ask away, and we'd be glad to help her, and that you're always there for her, and you are always just a prayer away, Lord, and you can give her the strength that she desires. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Josh, and well done, Rosie. Well done. We're so happy for you and the new life you have chosen, and we're just so happy, so happy. She's in the back there, by the way, if you want to. I won't ask you to stand up. I know that would mortify you, but she's like back there beside her dad, and we're so happy for Rosie. It's good to see all of you with us this evening. We are glad that you're here. Wish we could be outside, but the storm is coming in, and so it's probably best that we not be outside tonight. But we're thankful to be able to come together like this. And again, if you're visiting with us, glad to have you with us. Come anytime. If we can help in any way, please let us know. And all you who are visiting with us online, glad to have you. We do regularly have a lot of people watch this either as we are live or sometime later, and we are glad for that. And if you're able to come, please come. Next Sunday morning, is our Homecoming and Friends Day. We'd love to have any of you that are watching come and join us for that. And let's all be thinking of people that we can invite. Maybe somebody that was a member here years ago, or somebody that is a friend of ours that lives here. Let's be inviting people and make this a really big occasion. So we're looking forward to that. And also, let me remind you about Tuesday evening. Tuesday, we have another of those friendship walks. We just did one last week, the first one we have done. And we thank Teresa Wenton for suggesting that. And believe it or not, that was my first time to visit Willow Springs Park. And I'm thinking, why? Why had I not been out here before? It is a beautiful place. And the weather is supposed to be really nice again tomorrow evening. Not tomorrow evening, Tuesday evening at 6:30. We're going to meet at 6:30 instead of 7. So I'd really like several of you to come out and just enjoy. Enjoy being with Christian brothers and sisters and enjoy a nice walk together. But we're very glad you're with us tonight. And I do want to say thank you to Steve for not leading Savior Grant Us Rest in Peace right before the sermon. So thank you for not putting it down. I was thinking, why did he choose that song tonight? Let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got your Bible with you and that you'll follow with me in the Word of God as we study another important lesson from God's Word. I was not familiar with the term blue zones. Blue zones. And I'm told there are 5 blue zones in the world. Now, a blue zone is a term for an area, a region, where people live longer than the average, and sometimes significantly longer. The one that you may be familiar with is in Okinawa, Japan, and I'm told that in that prefecture, the people live longer. There's more centenarians, people that live to be 100 or more per 100,000, than it's 3 times the average of all of Japan. And so we want to know, what is it? What are these people doing? Is it what they're eating? Is it what they're, the exercise they get? You know, what we want to know, because we want to enjoy that long life, we think. Well, that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight, the blue zones physically, but I want to talk about them spiritually. And in the book of Acts, we have a blue zone, so to speak. Not talking about long life in terms of years, I'm talking about the vigor of spiritual life. Because you'll have to admit, when you read Acts, you say, wow, these people were dedicated. And so what is it about these people that made them so vigorous in their walk with Christ and willing to sacrifice and to go extra miles? What was it? Well, we've already talked about a couple of the ideas in our past 2 lessons on Sunday evenings. We talked about the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people pray. Do we depend on prayer? And that idea is very clearly found in the book of Acts, and that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. So let's get into that. But first, I want us to look at the example of Jesus's dependence on prayer before we get into Acts. Before we talk about the Christians, let's talk about the one they followed, because after all, Jesus is the story in the book of Acts. There would have been no early church. There would have been no Christians had it not been for Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection from the dead, his going back to be with the Father at the right hand of God. All of that is what makes the book of Acts possible. And when you look at Jesus, do you not see a dependence on prayer? Now, we could talk a lot about this, but I'm only going to point out 3 different passages in the Gospel of Luke. And so most of what we're going to be talking about is from Luke tonight, either in his Gospel or in the book of Acts. But let's start in Luke chapter 5, Luke 5 verses 15 and 16. And this is in the early part of Jesus's ministry on earth. And already crowds are developing. I mean, big crowds of people. And that's what Luke says in Luke 5, verse 15. Now, even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. And so here is a very popular person, a very in-demand kind of person. And so what do you think he does? Is he out there signing books? Is he out, you know, taking photos with people? Verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Now, his time is very much in demand. But Jesus was saying, in effect, I've got to have prayer. And the way I can do that, maybe the only way I can do that, and the way I want to do it, is to withdraw from the crowds, from everyone, and go into desolate places. A desolate place is a place where there's little life. Not much human life, let's say. Maybe there's a lot of wildlife out there. But Jesus knows I'll find quiet, I'll find peace. It's like us when we go to the woods or to the lake. You know, we want a little peace and quiet. Well, Jesus did, but it was for the purpose of praying. Then go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and look at verse 12. And remind yourself that this is right before he appoints 12 men who will be his apostles. This is a very important decision. Because these are the men that are going to be with him for the next 3 years. They're going to watch him closely. They're going to learn from his teachings. They're going to see a lot of things they're going to need to carry on when Jesus is gone. And so this is a very important decision. And so what do? Do you form focus groups and say, what kind of men are we looking for? Do we form a committee? What do we do? Well, Luke chapter 6, verse 12 tells us what Jesus did. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. All night. And does that suggest something important is about to happen? It does to me. And again, it shows that Jesus depended on prayer and the guidance that he would get from his Father as he went about this very important task. And then one other passage that you might not think of when we're talking about Jesus and prayer is Luke chapter 19, verses 45 and 46. Luke 19, 45 and 46. It's the incident we call the cleansing of the temple. I think there are two different occasions when Jesus cleansed the temple. John gives one of them early in the ministry, and then this one in Luke and Matthew and Mark are in the latter part of his ministry. But why did Jesus do that? I mean, that seems so uncharacteristic. Jesus walking into the temple courtyards and just turning over tables and driving out animals and probably opening cages full of pigeons and sparrows. Why? Well, listen to what it says in Luke 19, 45 and 46. He entered the temple, began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. I think I tend to emphasize the fact that they were gouging the people more, that was what angered Jesus, and that's certainly a part of it. But I think also, let's not overlook the fact, you're not giving the people a place to pray. This is supposed to be a place where they come and devote themselves to God in prayer. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. And look at what you're doing. It makes it impossible. And that's what angered Jesus on this occasion. And so when you look at these and several other instances in the life of Jesus, you'll say it's not a stretch to say that Jesus depended on prayer. He didn't just take time to say his prayers. He depended on prayer. And so when we come to the book of Acts, is it any wonder that the people who are following Jesus also depend on prayer? Let's look at that. Because in Acts, there is that strong dependence on prayer. Now, in chapter 1, this is before the church began. But even at that point, those who follow Jesus are showing we have learned how important it is to pray. We talked about this last week in chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. And this is the apostles and some others. And Jesus has gone back into heaven now. Before leaving, he said, wait in Jerusalem and the power will come upon you. And they didn't know. There was a lot of things they didn't know at this point. They were confused. And so what do when you're just, what's going on? What do we expect? Well, here's what they did. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so while they're waiting, they devote themselves to prayer. Now, I suspect everyone there had prayed in their lives. They were Jewish, all of them, and Jews would pray to God. But was it a different kind of praying now? Something that was a lot more fervent, a lot more personal, because they had been with Jesus when he prayed. Jesus had taught them to pray. And so is it a little higher level prayer? Well, we don't know. But I think it's interesting that even while they're waiting and they don't know a whole lot about what's going to come, they pray. They devote themselves to prayer. And then drop down to verse 24. Now we're talking about when Peter gets up and says, we've got a job we need to take care of. Judas is gone now. He betrayed the Lord. He took his own life. And now we need to fill that spot. And he quotes scripture to justify doing that. And then it says, after they had picked out two men, there were two different ones that were set forth. How do we decide? I mean, both of these men obviously are good men. You couldn't make a bad choice, could you? But they don't just vote on it. They don't have a discussion. It says in verse 24, they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen. They believed God knew the hearts of both of these men and he would know the better choice. And so, Lord, show us that better choice. And lots were cast, and they knew that God was going to control the casting of the lots. But they prayed about it before they cast the lots to begin with. And so even before the church began, prayer was something they did. They depended on it. Now we go into chapter 2. You know verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. This is after Peter has preached the first gospel sermon. 3,000 now have been baptized into Christ. Now the church is officially begun. And now what? Well, Acts 2:42 gives us a summary of some of the things that were to guide them in the days to come. They devoted themselves. They, referring to those that have been baptized into Christ, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And so right from the beginning, they say we cannot neglect our prayers. I mean, it's important to know what the apostles teach. It's important to have that fellowship with one another. And we're supposed to break bread together. And I think this is referring to the Lord's Supper. But let's make sure also that we do not neglect prayer. And again, that's because Jesus, that's what Jesus was all about, praying. And thus, that's how they're going to be as well. Well, let's continue on to chapter 3, verse 1. And we're only going to notice 7 of these passages, so don't get nervous about how slow it is to get through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And this I see is an example of what Luke had just written. They devoted themselves to prayer. And so, Luke chapter 3, verse 1, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That would be about 3:00 in the afternoon for us. So notice, they're going to the temple. That doesn't mean they're going to be, to practice Judaism. The temple was just a normal place where people went to pray. And that didn't change for Christians, even though later it may have become very risky for Christians to go there. And yet, here is Peter and John. It looks like this is just what they do. It's that time of the day. We need to go to the temple to pray. And it reminds me of the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now, with such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face. And that's exactly what they're doing. And then, of course, it would follow with a miracle that was performed. Peter again preaches the gospel, and then that sermon is interrupted by the authorities coming to arrest them. And then that brings us to chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Now, we're jumping ahead because now that they've been arrested, they've been put in front of the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin is upset. Because they're preaching the man that the Sanhedrin a few weeks ago had condemned as worthy of death. And they're saying, you all made a huge mistake. "This is the Son of God that you crucified," and that doesn't sit well with the Sanhedrin. And so they conclude the session by saying, "Never, never preach or teach in the name of Jesus again." And of course, the apostles say, "That's not going to happen. You know, we can't help but speak what we have seen." But they are threatened severely. Now, what do? Well, we find out in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31, they're praying. We're right in the middle of their prayer. "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and wipe them out." No, that's not what they say, is it? I mean, that's what we might have said. But they say, "Look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." I marvel at that. I love that. I wonder if I could pray that. But they say, "Lord, give us boldness so that we don't give in to their threats. And we're not going to be bullied into stopping our proclamation of Jesus." Verse 30, "While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Was their prayer answered? In a very powerful way. Was it a coincidence that there was a tremor in the earth when they had prayed that prayer? I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it's a normal tremor. I think that's God answering their prayer. That's what Luke wants us to understand. And they had boldness because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they did not cease proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. They depended on prayer. Now let's go to chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 24. Here, Simon, a man who had been a sorcerer, a magician, who had really been popular in Samaria, had himself now been baptized. He believed what Philip was preaching about Jesus. He obeyed the gospel, put on Christ, and now he himself is a follower. But now when the apostles come down from Jerusalem, lay their hands on certain Christians, and give them the ability to do miraculous things, Simon says, "Hey, can you give me, I'll pay you to give me that power as well. I mean, people will line up for me to lay my hands on them and give them that ability to do miraculous things." And if you remember, Peter rebuked him severely. And he says, "You are in danger, Simon." And now this is how Simon responds in Acts chapter 8, verse 24. Simon answered, "Pray for me. Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Simon genuinely was repentant, I think. It's not an act. I think he genuinely is scared now. He realizes, "I've done something awful. I don't want these bad things to happen to me. And so, Peter, you've told me to pray. I'm asking you to pray for me." And in this example, we are given a great example ourselves. Because now that we're Christians, and now that we sin, what do? Do we go back to the baptistry? No. We pray for forgiveness. Pray that we might be restored, that God will not punish us for what we have done. And it's a great example. But again, it shows how they depended on prayer. Now we go to Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. And these are very tense times. The persecution is increasing. James has just been executed by King Herod. And now Peter has been arrested. He is being held in the inner prison. He's in stocks. I mean, he's in maximum security. And Herod's intention is, tomorrow I'm going to do what I did to James. I'm going to do it to Peter as well. The Jews loved it. I'm going to make them even happier. And so what do the Christians do? Do they get out into the streets and begin protesting? Do they circulate petitions to be signed? Here's what they do. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. "So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church." Earnest prayer was made by the church to God. And as you recall in that incident, again, a very powerful response to that prayer. An angel came and opened all the doors miraculously while guards continued sleeping. The chains just fell off of Peter. And he went out, the gates opened on their own accord, and their prayer was answered. Even though when Peter got there, it's as if they didn't expect their prayer to be answered, but it was. They depended on prayer, and guess what? God honored that prayer, and Peter was released. And then in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, this is the last one we'll look at in our look at these instances of prayer in the early church. And here we have the missionary journey. I believe this is the second one. Paul and Silas are traveling through the area. They're establishing new churches. And then they go back, and here's what happens. When they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now, why are they doing that? Haven't you already appointed the elders? Okay, our work here is done. Well, you might say that, but not the apostles. They said, we need to pray for these men. They are in a very important position in the church. We need to not only pray, but also fast and show our dedication to what God wants us to do. And so again, I think it's a great example of the dependence of the early church on prayer. Now, there are at least 16 other instances in the book of Acts that I counted where prayer is mentioned among the early Christians. And I think that sends a powerful message, because we've looked at seven after the church began, and now another 16 and maybe others that I didn't include there. That's a powerful message that this is something that should characterize the church of all times. And again, it's more than just saying our prayers. It's being dependent on prayer. Big difference. You can say your prayers without even thinking about what you're saying. But when you depend on prayer, you're engaged and you're really fervent in what you're doing. I like what Martin Luther says about the importance of prayer. To be a Christian without prayer, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. How long can you hold your breath? Your body won't let you hold it very long. It will overrule your determination most of the time. I'm sure there's exceptions to that. But the point is, we've got to breathe in order to live. Do you want to live spiritually? Do you want to be a Christian with vigor in your faith? Then be dependent on prayer. I'm going to close with this passage in Luke chapter 24, verses 28 and 29. And again, you may say, what's this got to do with prayer? Well, let's look at it and see. Luke 24, 28 and 29. This is where Jesus encounters the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus has been raised from the dead. They don't recognize him until right before he vanishes from their eyes. And yet they have this long walk together. They are conversing. And now Luke tells us this in Luke 24, 28. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He, Jesus, acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Where's the prayer? This to me is what prayer needs to be. It is a walk with Jesus, with occasional requests. You see, God isn't just looking for religious activities now and then. Sunday morning, you know, you do this. Wednesday night, come to Bible study. I mean, those things are important for our lives. But what God is looking for is walking. Did somebody just pray? Sorry. What God is looking for is a walk with Jesus daily. And then when we ask him, like they ask him strongly, Luke says, stay with us. It looked like he was going to keep on going, but in response to their request, he went in and stayed with them for a while. That's prayer at its best, a relationship, a daily relationship with Jesus. And sometimes we need to ask him things. We need to ask the Father things through Jesus' name. And if we are walking with him, and if it is God's will, that request will be granted. It's such a beautiful thing that we're given in prayer. We're not doing this alone. God never expected us to get by on our own. He says, I'm with you. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Pray. Are you a child of God? Do you have that beautiful blessing of prayer? If you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we urge you to do tonight what Rosie did earlier this afternoon. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Turn away from anything that is sin, repenting of it, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Or do you need to do what Simon did and say, pray for me, and we'll be glad to pray for you? Whatever your need, come as we stand together and sing.
Frame of mind to thank our Savior for what he has done.
This particular verse focuses on me and tells what he has done.
Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he.
If you were here on Wednesday, Todd brought a very powerful lesson from Isaiah 53, talking about Christ and what was prophesied that was going to happen to him because of our sins. And if I'd like to read to you from Isaiah 53, just one verse, verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. We are about to think, we had to focus on Christ and what he suffered for us, and this bread and this fruit of the vine brings us back to that moment each week. So would you bow with me as we give thanks for the bread? Father, we're so grateful for the sacrifice that Christ went through for because of our sins and because of our iniquities. Now as we partake of the bread, we ask that we do so in a manner well-pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen. Also, taking of the now of the fruit of the vine, let's go back to God in prayer. Father, we're grateful for this blood that was shed, for the extreme sacrifice that Christ had to make because of us. Now as we partake of the blood, the fruit of the vine, may it symbol the blood that was shed for us. In Christ's name, amen. We also find this a convenient time to give back as we've been prospered. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for all the blessings you've given us, for all the earthly possessions we have are from you. Father, now as we give back, we ask that the funds be used for the spreading of the gospel throughout this area and over the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Do you want to know what the most popular song in Okinawa is? Savior, grant me rest in peace. No, it's not. Although the Japanese culture does emphasize a strong sense of centeredness and calmness within. And you know I like to have thematic things. So if you didn't guess what the theme was, come up to me afterwards and I'll tell you, because it was there. We are going to close with a celebration. The verse starts off a little bit dark in that he's lifted up to die on the cross, but the verse ends up, that's not where he's at. He's sitting on the throne. And then it gives you something for the week. So, this is your take home song.
Lifted up was he to die.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the blessings that you've given us and for the health that we've been able to be here tonight and hear this lesson. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that the things that have been said, that we'll think on those and remember how important prayer is in our life, and that we continue to devote ourselves to thee. be with our new sister in Christ and be with her as she goes through her daily walks, and that we can be an encouragement to her and can help her as things come up in her life. Be with Heavenly Father those that are mentioned this morning that have struggles in their lives, especially those physical struggles. And if it be thy will, Heavenly Father, bless them with the health they desire. Also, Heavenly Father, be with those that are struggling spiritually, and pray that things can be said or done that will encourage them and help them return to their first love. Be with us now, Heavenly Father, as we depart this place. Watch over us and keep us safe, and bring us back at the next appointed time. In Christ's name, pray. Amen. I have no new announcements. Do the elders have anything? If not, we're dismissed.